Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Very soon. All right, the topic before us this evening is a simple topic, yet powerful. And the title is Keeping a Good Conscience. Keeping a Good Conscience. And we'll read from 1 Timothy, the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18 to 20. 1 Timothy 1, 18 to 20, preferably New King James. Okay, let me read from here. Do we have it on the screen yet? Not yet, okay. It said, discharge. Please take note. It said, discharge. I commit unto thee, or unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you, that by them mightest war a good warfare. Verse 19, where the title of this message is coming from, it says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made a shipwreck. Verse 20, he says, of whom is Emmanuel and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. This message is sort of kind of a message that it calls for a recalibration. In fact, at some point, I was considering that maybe, do I say recalibration of the conscience? And what is the word? What does the word recalibration mean? I think my first time when I saw that word was in my physics class. Science students here, right? It was in the physics class. When you carry a tape or, you know, one of these ohmmeter, what are those other equipment, physics equipment they use in measuring? Or, let me not even go too far, that weighing balance, or let me come closer. When you go to the frozen food store and you want to buy a frozen food, what do they use? They use a scale, right? Do you know that a lot of times those scale, normally the scale, that red arrow, where is it supposed to be pointing? Zero. But oftentimes it's not pointing zero. You either find it somewhere one or zero or zero, you know. So when you find yourself, when you have that kind of a weighing balance, what you need to do is you need to recalibrate it so that it measures correctly. It measures whatever you are doing. It's, you know, and they told us something in physics those days, that if you whatever you measure here, when you take it to Germany, it should also give you the same thing. Especially when we talk about gravitational pull, all of those physics. This is not a physics class, please permit me. But when we talk about all of those things, they will tell you that whatever figure you get here, if you take it to Sokoto, it will still give you the same figure. And so at some point I was like, okay, maybe the title of the message should say, maybe recalibrating our conscience. But I believe that that's the work that the Holy Spirit want to do in our hearts tonight by the virtue of this teaching. Amen. Amen. Now, when you look at 1 Timothy 1:18, it says, discharge. When you hear a statement like that, this statement was coming from a spiritual father to a spiritual son. And scanning through the book of 1 Timothy, at least there are four places where you find this word called good conscience. Hallelujah. So it was a serious matter for Paul to consider that he needed to also tell his spiritual son that he should also consider that matter. So he says here, he said, this charge. Another word for charge is a mandate, is a commandment. He said, I commit unto thee, son, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that by them you might war a good warfare. You see, and let me say this ahead of time. We have heard so many things when it comes to spiritual warfare, how to fight spiritual warfare. You need to carry the belt of what? Ephesians 6. Eh? Belt of truth. All those gadgets for spiritual warfare, we've heard about that. But there are some aspects I feel that in the church we don't talk or we don't give enough attention to. And that has to do with your heart. Hallelujah. It has to do with the issue of my heart. If my heart is not right and I have every other thing at my disposal, there's a likely higher percentage that I will lose that warfare. You know, here it says that thou my what? War, what? A good warfare. So if there are things that are lacking, it means that the warfare, you cannot categorize that warfare to be a good warfare. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he says, holding faith. So you see the item called faith here. He says, holding faith and a good conscience. He then gave us an example. He says, some people, they've made what? They have put away these items, these vitals, concerning faith, and what happened to them? They became stranded. He said they became a shipwreck. Do you know what it means to have a shipwreck? Eh? Do you know what it means to have a shipwreck? You are in the middle of a sea, and just imagine that. I remember we were with Sister Tina and Pastor Tokwe last year. We attended one of our, maybe some of you saw the video, Sister Tina who posted that video? We were in the middle of the sea when we went for one wedding around Badagry. In the middle of nowhere, we were just there, you know. And reminiscing on that experience, just imagine if midway fuel finishes in that, what do they call it, speedboat, Abby? What do you think happens? That is a typical example of a man being stranded. I used to watch this channel on DSTV called Investigation Discovery, ID. And I remember sometimes some people can be very funny that they are so excited. Oh, let's go to the beach. Let's go and do something. Then there was this particular day that these very young children just said, oh, let's go. And they went and they were able to start their grandpa's boat. And they just entered into the sea like that. And they didn't know that before you go on a journey like that, you must be very good in knowing how to read your compass. Because they were just excited. You know, there's a way when you are on that journey, that the way the thing is and the wave and all of that, then they realized that they turned around and no more trees, no buildings. Like heaven and the water already kissed themselves. Like you can't really tell where exactly you are again. You are stranded. And can I tell you, I remember that story very well. Those guys were stranded. It got to the point that the water they had with them finished. And you know, you can't just fetch seawater and begin to drink. Because that in itself means that you want the enzyme, the intestine, everything inside you to begin to melt. He got to a point that they found blade inside the boat. They began to peel their skin to eat. And one of these sea guards, miraculously, after maybe 48 hours, just found, no, he couldn't see anybody and all of that. That is an example of a man made shipwreck, that you are stranded in the middle of nowhere. Hallelujah. So he says, give me verse 19. It says, some having put away. So it means that when you put away the matter of good faith, somebody say good faith. When you put away the matter of good conscience, it is likely that this Christian journey, you can become stranded. Hallelujah. You can become what? You can become stranded. And he gave us an example. He said, there were these two guys, Emmanuel and Alexander. He said, they put away. He said, some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, and of whom is Emmanuel and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan. They felt like they were bigger than the doctrines, the teachings, the correct teachings that they have arrived. And we'll see in a bit. But let me define what exactly is conscience. Can I get an example from anybody? Just a random definition. Do we all have conscience?
Yes.
Do you have a conscience?
Yes.
Okay. Deacon John, as I was told this evening. The law of God written in our hearts. Awesome. 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 Any other person? All right. Bro, AY. Awesome. Yeah, go ahead, please. The upbringing, what you have you have been exposed to, value system of the environment and all of that. Fantastic. Please, can we jam our hands together for the two of them? Very great, very great, very great, very great. Let me add to what they said. I said conscience is a God-given device in every human mind that reacts to that person's behavior. It is God, it's like a device that is installed in you that reacts. It's in every human, both born again, both unsaved people, they have a conscience. And it reacts to that person's behavior. Number two, follow me. You know I like to itemize, use numbers and all of that. Number two, your conscience, having defined, are we satisfied with that definition?
Yes, sir.
All right. Number two, your conscience can either accuse you or excuse you. And that's what our brother just said now. Your conscience can either accuse you. You see, that device, depending on how well the calibration has been done, it is to make you know when you are wrong or when you are right. You know, sometimes some people call conscience the voice of God. Have you heard statements like that before? It is not the voice of God, but it's a device. It's something that God already installed in every human being to be able to know good, or to be able to differentiate when something is good and when something is bad. And you know, I love that example I usually give about daddy, yes, papa. I like that example because each time I have two beautiful children, each time they are watching it, and I just, by God's providence, I tag along with that song, and I'm asking the question, so how did this little boy know that he was supposed to lie? Have you ever considered? You know, I asked that question the last time too. Have you ever considered it? So it means that for that boy to lie, to have lied, it tells you that that boy, though very young, maybe below two, he has a conscience. So it tells you that every human being has a conscience. I remember those days, very young, they would tell us, did you play football in school today? What was the ready answer?
No.
Like, Lara, I was copying my notes. I didn't even go for... And we begin to fabricate all manner of lies, and you begin to just, you know, like, cook everything. Hallelujah. So your conscience is either to accuse you or to excuse you. And I want us to see it from Romans chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15. Quickly, Romans 2, 14, 15. Paul here was talking about the Jews and their predisposition to the law of God, and the people who were Gentiles and their predisposition to the law of God. Verse 14. It says, can we read together, please? I love when we read together. Can you see it on your screen?
Yes, sir.
Okay, one, two, go. He said, for when Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature, they do the things in the law, He said, these people, they don't have the law. The law is not for them, first of all. He said, but they do the things. And I'm asking, do you have some friends who are unbelievers, but they do things as though they are? Sometimes you're like, I can't tell, is this person a Christian or a Muslim? That's what he's talking about here. That is what he's talking about here. Please come back quickly. It says, although not having the law, they are a law unto themselves. So you hear some of your unbeliever friends, they will tell you, I don't steal any man's thing. And if you fact check that man, he's actually telling the truth. Verse 15. It says, can we read again together? Verse 15. Please bring it back on screen. Let's go together. They demonstrate like they have the law of God in their hearts. It says, their conscience is what? Bearing witness. They are thought accusing or excusing them. So your conscience is either to accuse you or to excuse you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 3 point I want to establish this evening is that when a man has a good conscience, it produces a feeling of well-being. Hallelujah. An example is, you've been given an assignment and the teacher comes to class and he tells you, okay, good morning, students. You say, oh, good morning, uncle. Good morning, auntie. And you say, okay, can I have my assignment? Can you remember this thing very well, what I'm talking about? When you have done the assignment, what happens to you? There is a ginger in you that, I have escaped Mr. Shitu today. Nothing Mr. Shitu has on me. Hallelujah. But for some of us, even miss class because we know that to fail to not attempt Mr. Shitu's assignment, you will hate yourself that day. So it's best you just tell yourself, I don't even come to school today. Hallelujah. That is what the conscience does. When we do something that is right, there's a joy, there's a well-being, there's a peace, there's an inner peace that wells up inside you. Hallelujah. And vice versa. When our behavior is not good, when it is evil, say, I remember last night, the bus conductor gave me 200 naira as change. And I opened my bag and I kept it in this place. And you begin to role play and reverse, like, didn't I collect the change? See, it was when that I even gave the conductor 100 naira to be able to give me 500 naira change. I collected the change, and somehow you can't place and all of that. But you have children or you have neighbors that you know that don't just, if you keep your bag, you know, those days back in the hostel, like there are some, you need to. I have this, my brother, bro, Sunday, we went to the same school. I don't know. Did you stay in the hostel? Oh, you never stayed in the hostel. But you see, in the hostel in those days, you see some people buy the no padlock that some people already learned from secondary school hostel, that they know how to remove padlock and make it work again. Somebody's shaking head there. So people are mad. Though they were in undergraduate program, but they already had PhD in how to. In fact, some people don't even tamper with your padlock. Is that I don't know what they call that thing. They will use plier or use screwdriver or nail. They will remove it. Carry your hot plates. You know that hot plate that you know when you cook your beans and spag. Oh, some people don't know beans and spag here. Spagawa. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. They will go behind your back. You have already, before keeping it there, you have arranged it that, I know I've arranged this thing. I know by the time I'm coming back, this is how I should meet it, you know. And you have, who used my water? Who used my hot plate? And nobody. Or maybe in this case, you were not the one who used it. But you follow the person who used it. They cook the food. You took out of the food. And the owner of the hot plate now came back and said, who used my hot plate or who carried my water? What happens in your heart? You begin to feel uncomfortable. I don't want these guys wahala again. That is the conscience speaking at that moment. So it's a device that God has placed in every man to ring the alarm when something wrong goes off. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So its purpose is to warn the person of the fact that he's sinning. One of the reasons why we have conscience is to alert us that you are ogre, you are this path you are going, you have veered off the right path too. If you continue, one of my friends yesterday ran into the hands of policemen. You know, it rained yesterday. He was coming from Agege. He said he didn't know that it was one way. He was just driving. He said, but he sighted the police guys ahead. He said, and he was looking, and the wife was telling him, like, let's turn back. He said, let's go. That if they decide to follow after me, then go run tire, like we do. But known to him that he was on one way, he would be facing the traffic coming. He said, by the moment he realized, he said, oh, my boss and my people, I don't enter this one chance today, sha. He said he had to begin to plead with the guys, and they said, no. He said, 2,000 naira will collect from you. And he said, they're not. Yes, now. He said, they quickly called. They said, you see cameras? We can help you sort it out here now. We'll just call the control room. They will delete it. And they actually called somebody. Because I was telling him that there's nobody. He said they actually called somebody. I spoke with somebody. I said, that person, they want call. Where they pick that call? He didn't want call. Where they pick that call? At the end of the day, he actually parted with 10,000 naira. They were merciful to him. But he said that 10,000, he paid them. And I know in this economy, somebody to just collect 10K. Eh? Hallelujah. So the purpose of the conscience is to tell us when we are doing something wrong. And the reason why, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but the reason why some of us can't dictate what is wrong anymore is that we have killed the conscience. You know, my brother was talking about your environment, the things, you know, there are some places you go to do the right thing, it no go hard you to do. Because the culture in that environment is that everybody, they do the right thing, so you too, you go just align. And there are some other places you go to also that you they do writing, or even though your own writing will be 80, or not be 100%. But as you go there, you look, Tunji don't do this one, Bosse don't do this one, Florence don't do this one. Like, I beg. If Florence came 8:15 and wrote 7:45, and Oga no talk anything, this one, and at the end of the day, Oga go still use them to say. You know, there was this quote that was flying around December 31st, best worker in the year. John, those people where they work, go carry laptop for laugh, they work, say, I want to get the best employee, I'll be employee of the year. Say, oh God, they've already done the vote of employee of the year, so this one where you demand your laptop. Like, at the end of the day, oh God, go see use that thing. Still see, we use, and like, at the end of the day, like, say, this thing, no pay me. And we gradually join that bandwagon, and our ability to dictate evil or to dictate bad began to be affected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And number what are we now? Okay, tell me the last statement I made, or the last point I emphasized. The purpose is to warn the person of the fact that he's sinning, right? Or he's doing the wrong thing. Okay. I don't know what number now, but here I have it as number 6. Having a good conscience is your responsibility. It is not the responsibility of the environment you find yourself. Okay. You know, some people will tell you when you are in Rome, you behave like a Roman. For the believer, if you are not a Roman, when you are in Rome, you behave as a representative of the kingdom where you are coming from. And I heard a statement, I think it was in my 200 level, one of my senior friends told me then, he said, if you can't beat them, you join them. You know, as subtle or as simple as these statements sound, they've become the tenets upon which some of us we behave. We engage in the marketplace. Now, Lagos, and they call this place, so who has never heard that statement before? This is Lagos. I no can count bridge. No be the same rent where they pay here than they pay for my village. Oh, man, gas also. Man, gas. Give me those languages. Man, gas, find way. Eh? Man, gas, wise up. Wise up, my guy, my G. Wise up, wise up, wise up. And you too, you look and say, we told you, out of this 100,000 naira salary, I go do transport, I go do mama, biliki. You don't even take breakfast. What you take is, not dinner. Is it brunch? Then when you are coming, you just buy cucumber. Or fried yam. Or bread and akara. You see, if you reach person, because why akara now? Na 50K. I've been at 50 naira. You just buy cucumber, you buy granules, 15 naira, 100 naira. You know, they carry water. I say, if I continue like this, true, it'll be like, see, waiting for God John. Tell me, see, make I wise up. I got wise up. Oh. I got wise up. Oh. And gradually, yeah, you were trying to wise up, but you were damaging something. And it's called your conscience. Hallelujah. So, conscience is your responsibility. And Acts chapter 24 and verse 16. You see a man whom a lot of us love so much that is credited to have written maybe two thirds of the New Testament, Paul speaking. Acts 24 verse 16. He says what? Give me Acts 24, 16. He says in view of this. Okay, yeah, we have it. Can we read it together? One to go. This being so, I myself, what do I do? I strive to have a conscience, without offense to God and without offense to men. Actually, another translation says, I exercise. So having a good conscience, if you say exercise, having a good conscience, it does now mean that you can train yourself, you can train your conscience to be good. Yeah. Hallelujah. You can do what? You can exercise your conscience. At the first, you might be saying, oh, you know, say, I know they, I just got saved and all of that. Yes, we understand you just got saved, right? But you can train your conscience. You can exercise your conscience to begin to now detect that which is good or which is bad. And interestingly, from this scripture we just read, he said, I want to have a conscience that is what? Void of offense. He mentioned two entities there. Permit me to use the word two entities. The first entity, towards who? Towards God. And there are people who say, if God is fine with you, I don't care, you know, the F word, what every other man thinks about it and all of that, and just say, but here he says, I want my conscience to be void of offense, towards who? God and man. And man is very, very important. Very, very important. You cannot just say, oh, as long as God, give me some of those statements we make, like, if God is okay with it, I'm okay. I don't care whatever any other man thinks about. God sees the heart. Yes, it's true. God sees the heart. But you have men around. What do men think about of you? When it comes to your job, what do men think of you? I don't know, maybe it was here, I shared it recently. A guy said in their office, they just give the drivers money to go and buy fuel. Well, on this particular day, they sent him and the driver, and they transferred the money to his account. While on the journey, he realized that it was not with his ATM card, and it was not with his ATM card, and this particular filling station would not accept transfer. So he asked the driver, Do you have your ATM card here? He said, yes. Okay, let me transfer the money into your account there. And he transferred the money to the account. And the driver alighted, went to meet the fuel attendant. And they gave him 10,000 naira. And guess what the driver did? He bought fuel of 5,000 naira. Real life story. Bought fuel of 5,000 naira. And came back to sit in the car while the man was selling the fuel. So, you know, when you buy fuel of 5,000 naira and fuel of 10,000 naira, the time it will take to fill the tank, it will be different. So the other guy was curious, like, ah, are you sure, say, you sell 10,000 naira fuel? Now in the attendant look again, ah, it's not 10,000 naira fuel, it's 5,000 naira you bought. The guy looked at the driver. Driver, what happened? I say, I better forget that thing. He said, but I need to tender this receipt, this POS receipt. I need to take it back to the office. He said, he collected it, bam, snatched it from his hand, and tore it, squeezed it in and tore it, and he threw it away. Meaning that, he no start that day. People, they do office runs. They call it office runs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Am I speaking too far? Some of us, we use the office data to download film.
Yes, yes.
I'm coming closer home now, Abi. Huh? You know, I just told a sweet story. Everybody was following the story of... Huh? It's not for office use. You are using office time to watch film. You know, as we are saying it now, it's sounding strange to you. Is that our conscience have been so weakened, less effective, that we can't even pick to say that, oh, really? But sir, in my office, what we do is unlimited. And so? And you are saying, oh, you are not getting promoted. You said, you know, in verse 18, he said that you might war a what? That you might war. Give me 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. He said that you might war a good warfare. This is one of the ways that a lot of us are losing ground. Wow. Wow. So you think, oh, they ask you, so this problem you are facing now, which scriptures? I say, I have 100 scriptures. I downloaded them. I have 100 scriptures. Yes, you are confessing those scriptures. You are working with those scriptures. But there's something else that is leaking that power.
Yeah.
Because to you, you don't really see anything in it. Like, I got tired now. I need to download movie. I see some of those funny things online that... let's not go into that one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, having a good conscience is your responsibility. And your conscience must be clear before God, and it must also be clear before men. It must be clear before God. It must also be clear before men. Oh, interesting. Give me Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10. Philippians 1, 10. It says that you may approve the things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That you may approve the things that are excellent. That you may approve the things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. This thing we are talking about, conscience, I'm not talking about a one day off thing. I'm talking about it has, you say till the day. Till the, somebody say till the day. I can't hear us. Say till the day. Till the day of Christ. It's till the day of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32. 1 Corinthians 10, 32. It says, give no offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Aha. Give no offense, either to the Jews, or to the Greeks, or to the church of God. This still further buttresses the former point. I say, if my oga say it's fine, it's fine. But you look down, you say, this one is just my subordinate, and I can treat him anyhow. He says, give no offense either to the Jews. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. I have less than 20 minutes. Let me read this last scripture for now. unfortunately. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. You know, I said the other time, I said when we have a good conscience, one of the things that you enjoy is good well-being. There's peace inside your heart. Abi, you are excused. There's this, you know that, this one, you know, it's not my portion. It says, and, can we read together? And let the peace of God rule in your heart. You see that word, rule in your heart. It says, let the peace of God become the umpire. What's the job of an umpire? Who has done PhD here? I know I first said it in PhD. Do you watch table tennis?
Yeah.
Is it in table tennis they have umpire?
Yes, yes.
Lawn tennis. Then you see the seat of that man.
Okay,
IHOP, Abby. Yeah. What does that man do? To see clearly. What exactly? What does that man do?
To judge.
To give direction. This is the person who is serving now. Is to give clarity. So he says, let the peace of God rule your heart. That if you have the peace of God in your heart, you'll be able, the ability to be able to dictate and say, oh, this is good, this is bad. And can I tell you, there are some things that are good, but they are not God. Hallelujah. So, good is not even the standard. It is God that is the standard. So, let's quickly consider the corrupt conscience. That's what we've been looking at. Give me Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, to the pure, all things are what? They are pure. Titus 1, 15. Can we read together? One, two, go. To the pure. Can we read like a lively church? One, two, go. To the pure, all things are pure. To those who are defiled or who are corrupted, and unbelieving. How many things are pure? He said nothing. And there's another scripture to that. Give me Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, to the pure, all things are pure. It says, but to those who are corrupted or who are defiled, he said, there's nothing. So you hear a man, or you are working in the office with a man, and he tells you, like, ah, that babe, how far now? So take Boshe. And you're like, what are you talking about? Like, you don't try him. Say, oh God, nothing wrong. We need to try ourselves. No, be say after we don't marry now, now we go to come here, say, oh God, no feel perform, or madam, no feel carry belay. We need to try ourselves and guy, try him. He says, to the ones who are defiled. The moment you begin to hear statement like that, just know that person, you know what it means to be defiled? Huh? It means that there's a file, but that man, is out of course. In the military, when they say rank and file, as a junior officer, when your oga don't give command, you dare not come out of. Do you watch some of those military movies? You have to be everybody. Give me that scripture. What is that scripture? Abi, what did I say just now? Isaiah 5:20. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good." Is that all? Who put darkness for light? And light for darkness? Who put bitter for sweet? And sweet for bitter? Say woe to them. Do you know what it means when scripture says, when God says woe? In this present time, there's one language they use. You say, woe. Meaning that that man is doomed. Finished. So acting against your conscience will change how it functions. Because a corrupt conscience approves the wrong thing. That's what the scripture is telling us. The moment you see a man, the kind of result or the kind of things he's seeing, and you put it side by side with word of God, and you see that it's defiled, it's not aligned. Eh? Just know that that man's conscience is what? Is what? Is corrupt. It's corrupt. You say, some examples that are coming, because I hear those things, I'm hearing them, and I'm like, when did we get here? When did we get here? And let me give you an example of how a lot of us, we have damaged our conscience. I made mention about of it just a little bit a while ago, but let me give an example. I wrote something here. I said, picture a teenager using drugs for the first time. He knows that drugs are addictive. He knows that drugs are destructive. And his conscience tells him that taking them is wrong. He says, but his friends are encouraging him to do what? Try it, take it. Now, man, you be, if you take this thing now, you go see how you go, your eye go clear. You go see road, take him. He says he wants his friends to like him. So that boy is also looking for the approval of the people around him. So he overrides his conscience. Now, I say, in overruling his conscience, it diminishes its power. How does it diminish his power? Listen to me. His conscience becomes what? Weakened. It becomes less sensitive. Therefore, less effective. But that's not even when the deal is done. Next time, that decision, to make that decision when he's alone or when his friends are there, it becomes easier for him to quickly take it. True or false? That's not all. If the boy repeats the choice again, the boy's conscience changes. After a while, he feels that there's nothing wrong with what he is doing. Did I just describe some things that some of us are struggling with now? That the first time you tried it, you had a very strong struggle. Like, if I do this thing, your peace is taken away from you. Like, you do it again. So, you even now begin to even look for scriptures to say, God is rich in mercy. You see, this God is a merciful God. In fact, the Bible even says his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. It says, scriptures even says that as sin abounds, that grace abounds even much more. We serve a merciful God. My brother, say we serve a merciful God. We serve a merciful God. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the moment you put that event repeats itself again and again and again and again and again. The ability of that person to dictate or to for the alarm to go off is reduced. And that's how a lot of us have weakened our conscience, that just like everybody they do them. Everybody they do them. There's even they even composed a song saying that person we then catch na be barao. You can't be if you are pastoring and you have to be aware of what your people are listening to. I'm not saying that you become, that's what you give yourself wholly to, but I know I'm not deaf. True or false? I'm not deaf. I can hear those things. I can hear the lyrics. And that is what is making some people to even do it the more. Because they will tell you, say, na person wey dem catch, na him be barao. Yes, now. Before the guy who sang the song sang it, it has always been in some people subconscious. say, we don't paint this church now. We don't do them everywhere. Say, the remaining half rubber of paint, I'm not sure, so we'll go use them. We'll go need them again. Instead of him to ask Pastor Tokwe, Pastor David, please, this half paint, I just got one. Can I take it? Say, church, no need them. Say, now we kukuma, they even contribute. Where they use, carry the money. Carry them, go out. It's a sin. But you won't know it's a sin if your conscience is weak.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You won't know it's a sin if your conscience is weak. Because like, nobody will contribute. Now our money, now we will money. Now you, this one is not a community thing. It's not common. You know, he said something the other time. He said, we are not in a social gathering. What do you say, sir?
Yeah.
He said, you are not in a, that's the, in a social gathering, that's what you find. In a social gathering, person don't carry cooler. You don't put them under table. Sir, sorry. I'm sorry. Have you been saved? They've not saved us. They've not saved. They only brought bottled water here, and the person said he's coming, but they've not saved us. Hallelujah. How many minutes? 10 minutes. Number one, how to keep a good conscience. I've jumped a lot of things. How to keep a good conscience. Give me John chapter 16 and verse 8. John 16 verse 8. God talks about three particular things there. He said when the Holy Spirit, he was talking about the Holy Ghost, John 16:8. He says when he comes, he will convict the world of what?
Sin.
Of sin. And of what? Righteousness. And you see, when the Holy Spirit begins his work in you, what you can expect that is that your conscience becomes awakened. The first work of the Holy Spirit is deeply disturbing.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm talking about? That sometimes if your sleep, and this is to the people who are really ready, that sleep is taken away from you.
Like,
why are you not sleeping? Say, I can't sleep. Why? He can't see. Because the conviction of the Holy Spirit is alive.
Yeah.
So, when you become, he says, it brings you to a place where you see your own sin. And that's why he said, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit brings you to that place where you know, you see that, I really mess up. I mess up. Number two, he said he will convict the world of what? The second thing there.
Righteousness.
You can't know righteousness if you don't know Jesus. When you are just by yourself, you think in your own righteousness, you are your own Baba the guy. You say, my Baba the guy is the white. You remember those days, sometimes when you wear white, for some of us who have white shirts here, you know when you wash the white, you iron it. Say, that Thanksgiving church on Sunday, these whites, if I do them like this, 1,500, it will be the whitest one. As they enter church from downstairs, now you see, bro, Sunday. He wears his own whites. You can't come, you can't bring your own whites closer to your own whites. Your own white now looks like cream. Off whites. Do you understand what I'm talking about? For those of us who went to school and your uniform was white, you remember what I'm talking about? That you go and buy those China, they call it China material. It's like time you resume school, you now realize that my own wife don't be white too. You can't know righteousness if you don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
You are not the standard. It's not your own wife that is the standard. It's the Jesus' wife that is the standard. So he says he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. By the time you come closer to Jesus, that's when you now realize that to be using office data. To the user and download my own movie. It's wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number two. And of judgment. You see, by the time you know sin and judgment, of judgment, you are waiting to hear what he will say. And because you know that there's your own wife cannot even measure up, what do you now ask for? You're asking for mercy. We're asking for mercy. Number two, how to keep a good conscience. A good conscience is set by the word of God. Not by what your grandma said, not by what your favorite man. Yeah, but that's not the ultimate. It is by the word of God. Give me Psalms 119 and verse 11. Psalms 119 and verse 11. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. The word of God is what sets or what keeps a good conscience. You cannot, if you are far from the word of God, I'm not talking about just reading, meditating, actively working with the word of God. If you are far from the word of God, you won't know how far you have deviated. You won't know until you come close. If you are not close, you won't know how far you have deviated. So the word of God, reading the word of God, studying the word of God, is not because they want to make a pastor out of you. If that is even the matter, so it's a good thing also. But it's that you will be able to say, this is my father. You will be able to say, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Number three. I'm rushing this part now because I have less than 4 minutes. A good conscience is cleansed by the blood of Jesus. A good conscience is cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Give me Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. And that will be probably the last scripture I'll read. It says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, do we have it? Can we read it together? One, two, go. How much more shall the blood of what will he do? No. That answer is he says, without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from what? Dead works to serve the living God. It is the blood of Jesus. It is not hypo. Yeah, it is not hypo. And it is not the blood of goats. It is the blood of Jesus that has the capacity to cleanse. And this work, oh my goodness. It is the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus. You must allow that to settle in your subconscious, in every fiber of your being, that it is the blood of Jesus that cleanses our conscience from dead works to be able to serve the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you blessed tonight?
Yes, sir.
Are you blessed tonight?
Yes, sir.
Are you blessed tonight?
Yes, sir.
I want us to be on our feet. I just want you to pray and apply the ministry of that blood. You see, it was not just on the day you gave your life to Christ that blood was effective. That blood is still effective today, tomorrow. It's still effective today, tomorrow. So I want you to apply the blood of Jesus and let the blood of Jesus begin that work again afresh. Say, Lord, recalibrate my conscience by your blood. Recalibrate my conscience by your blood. Recalibrate my conscience. Let your word have impact. You know, some of us, our conscience is so dead that when you hear the word of God, it makes no difference to you anymore. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit that when you hear a scripture, it ministers to you. You are not looking at that scripture and say, the next opportunity I have to preach, I must share this scripture. You are applying that scripture to your own life. Say, Lord, recalibrate my conscience with your blood. Let my conscience come alive again. Let me begin to hear. As you are raising it up, either you are accusing me, either you are excusing me. Let me begin to hear. As you are raising this matter, let me begin to hear them. Let my conscience come alive again. Let it come alive again. When your conscience comes alive, you won't have that which is called a sin that you are enjoying every time. I'm not saying you won't fall. I'm saying that when you fall, you know, because your conscience is alive, you quickly run to him and say, Lord, I messed up. Have mercy. Have mercy. Not that you are sitting in sin, you are enjoying sin, you are drinking. No, that is not what we're talking about. A conscience that is alive knows that, is nothing without the mercies of God. Recalibrate my conscience this evening. Let my conscience come alive again. Let my conscience come alive. Let it come alive. Let it come alive. Let it come alive. Lebra ko shataba lagazute. Let it come alive. 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 He said, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. He said, my conscience also bearing witness with me in the Holy Ghost. Can you boldly say that statement? That's Romans 9:1. That's Romans 9:1. He says, my conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Ghost. Father, we give you praise for tonight. We thank you, for in Jesus' mighty name we've prayed.